This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Franklin Injury Attorney text line if you want to get involved in the conversation or on the Twitch or on the YouTube. It's time for Cowboys Win Because Cowboys Lose Because from the 903. I bet this will actually resonate with a whole lot of people. The Cowboys lose because they suck. The Cowboys win because they suck less. That's nice. From the 214, Cowboys win if they lose because we can eventually build the team around Arch Manning. Oh, interesting. From the 972, Cowboys lose because Jerry Jones is the owner and GM. Cowboys win because Jerry steps down as the GM before the game starts. I would bet that that is not willing, that's not going to happen. I think it's more likely that Corey runs at the window, jumps out, has a parachute in his backpack, and safely lands on the ground than Jerry Jones resigns as GM before the game.
Oh, wow. I think it's more likely that I jump out of the window without a backpack and land safely on the ground than it is Jerry resigns. Like, I don't even.
That's a good point.
That's the most, like, he shouldn't have lived. Well, Jerry didn't resign.
That's a good point. I like that from the 214. Cowboys lose because Mike McCarthy doesn't win. Watch film. From the 319. Where is that? Cowboys win because the Giants are butt. From the 469, Cowboys win because they can easily beat up on bad teams. And that right there, I have like a more insightful answer. But that right there is why I think the Cowboys are going to win. I'm not saying that the Cowboys are a good team whatsoever, but I think the Giants are a terrible team. And this is what the Cowboys specialize in: beating up on terrible teams to briefly hide all the other issues that they have.
319 area code is Iowa. Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, Iowa City, and Burlington. So they're at the Coat Factory.
Waterloo.
Yeah.
I could not forget if I wanted to.
ABBA.
And so now I won't. Very good.
ABBA Cadaver.
Very good. So my Cowboys win because, and I know Mickey said some of the pitfalls that come with this. Dak owns the Giants. He owns them. Dak Prescott has won 12 straight games over the Giants. Last year, the Cowboys beat the Giants 89-17 combined in their two wins. And in Dak's 12 straight wins against the Giants, the average margin of victory is 17 points. Dak Prescott owns this division, and he owns the Giants. That's my Cowboys win because.
Those are past things, though, Kevin.
That's true.
Every year, teams change.
You're going to hate this. My Cowboys lose because is a present thing. Because Malik Nabers is, in fact, the man. Malik Nabers is second in the NFL with 23 catches and fifth in receiving yards. No player in the league, think about this, this is the scary part to me. No player in the league has more 20-plus yard catches than Malik Nabers. He has six. The Cowboys have struggled with proximity on their coverage assignments. So I think that combination could potentially be disastrous for them.
I wanted to do this yesterday, but there was a big room of people talking here during crosstalk.
That's true.
I went to my notes on my draft stuff as I was looking through draft for this year, and I got Malik Nabers, and this is my notes on him. I love this dude's vibe like I would Ja'Marr Chase or OBJ or Waddle. Like he just had that kind of vibe to him. And then Broadus yesterday brings up Odell. Just that kind of ability. Great balance and feel for cornerbacks that are around him. He's shifty. Versatility is crazy. And then once the ball is in his hand, he hits a different gear. And this morning I heard when Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton were doing their thing, I heard the guy from New York, maybe the Post, he was saying that he's more likely to, when he gets the ball, push you down.
Okay.
You know, then run around you or something like that. But he's got that kind of strength, but he's also got that kind of speed and dynamic ability. Kevin, it is one guy. He is a rookie. Nobody's really been able to lock him up yet, though. He's still got that ability. So I'm with you, man. That is a concern for the night. And it's not just tonight.
No.
A long future of having to cover that guy for a long time.
Look, you can look at Neighbors, you can look at Daniels, and you could see frightening rookies in your division. From the 4-6-9, Cowboys win because they play Hunter Lipke as the starting running back. Ooh, that would be fascinating. Cowboys lose because Devin Singletary makes us look like a JV team. And this is the point where I'll tell you this. The Dallas Cowboys gave up more rushing yards against the Ravens than five teams in the NFL have given up all season. That is astonishing to me and a potentially bad sign for this week and the week after, etc.
Cowboys win because they stopped the Giants on first down. They stopped Singletary on first down. The easiest way for a team to be successful, first and second down, they're able to get big chunks and then they're able to convert on third down. Like that's the way you want to do it if you're making drives down the field. And then once a team steps up, you make a big play over them whenever they don't expect it. The Cowboys have yet to prove that on first down, they can keep you from getting yards. They're not getting you in the backfield. They're not stopping you for no gain. That's what the Cowboys haven't done so far. So if they can do it against the Giants, they win this game. I am concerned, though, about the Singletary making them look like a JV team. So far, everybody's that decided we're committed to running the ball against the Cowboys has made them look that way. And that's part of the details that Jordan Lewis has been talking about. Jordan Lewis saying, look, it's the details from us knowing routes, from us knowing hand placements, from us knowing, you know, ways to exploit the offensive line whenever they're trying to do what they're doing to us. So stopping them on first down, whether it's stuffing them in the backfield or just getting no gains or maybe 1 yard gains at max.
Yeah.
Cowboys lose because Daniel Jones converts third downs consistently. And it's not that he does do that, but if the Cowboys can't get off the field, then guess what's going to happen on after third down's converted? On first down, Singletary is getting the ball and he's going to push it down your throat. So those are my two ways. If the Cowboys can stop that, they win. But they got to also make sure that Daniel Jones doesn't convert and give the ball back to Devin Singletary on first downs.
From the 2-1-4, Cowboys win because they beat up on bad teams. Cowboys lose because the Giants run all over their defense. From the 5-1-2, Cowboys lose because Neighbors and Singletary come to play and expose our already exposed defense. I understand that concern, absolutely. From the 4-6-9, Cowboys lose because it's prime time. Now, let's talk about the fascinating aspect of that. First of all, this is the first road Thursday turnaround game, I guess, in Cowboys franchise history, which is fascinating. Like, they've done the turnaround before on the Thursday, but it's usually been a home game. But Daniel Jones has the worst primetime record in the history of starting quarterbacks.
Does this date back to that time that the turf grabbed him when there was nobody around him for like 62 yards?
Yes, it does. Now, Kirk Cousins, as we've talked about, has gotten a little bit of a winning streak going, and that has helped him move out of this classification. It goes, Ken Anderson was the fourth worst, then Jeff George, then Andy Dalton, and Daniel Jones says, no. Daniel Jones is 1-12 in primetime games. So, like, we used to talk about this with Kirk Cousins. Daniel Jones is terrible in primetime. His only win came in December of 2022. The team won 20-12. So if you're looking for something from that perspective, and again, I know that goes to the past as opposed to what's happening right now. Daniel Jones has been terrible in primetime.
Yeah, I mean, the teams have been bad around him. Maybe save for a couple of players. Barkley's a pretty good player. But there've been a bad team around him. Offensive line, very bad in front of him for a long time. But that could change right now. Like maybe they got the right talent and they got the right offensive line working there, because they've looked like a cluster F for a long time.
From the 737, I think a lot of people would be happy about this. Cowboys win because CeeDee Lamb gets 8 catches for 180 yards and 3 touchdowns. Cowboys lose because Dak hasn't woken up yet. From the 817, Cowboys win because CD scores 2 touchdowns. Cowboys lose because Malik Nabers is him. That is a very big concern. But you hear multiple CeeDee Lamb texts coming in about being the key for why the Cowboys win. It's been a disappointing start for the offense as a whole. So no doubt a disappointing start for the Dak and CeeDee connection as well. Do you believe this is the game where that's gonna wake up?
Wasn't it New York where he had the drop pass down the sideline and was just like, that's on me? And it was a big time play that probably would have been like a 60-yard touchdown. And then in the second half, he comes out, has almost the exact same play, delivers, and then just went on a tear from there. So I think it was in New York, and it was on the road against New York when that happened, and he said, that's on me. So I don't know if last week was the wake-up call. Have you seen the tweet Bobby sent out of him this week talking, and everybody kind of asked him about it a little bit, and he was like, he looked like he wanted to say something, and he looked like he wanted to say, and then he goes, it's going to happen again.
Okay.
Like he looked like he wanted to say, look, man, this is, we're about to turn it on. Just get ready. I don't know exactly what it was, but I think, I think this is the one that kind of livens up CeeDee Lamb again.
From the 214, as we do Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because Cowboys win because we figure out how to run the football. From the 682, Cowboys win because they stop the run, and Cowboys lose because for the second week in a row, they let a running back who they could have had run all over them. I don't know if people get more frustrated about that, but that is pretty frustrating.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Rating. I mean, I would have been mad either way with the loss with the Ravens and Derrick Henry, but the fact that you can throw in like, hey, he kind of wanted to be here. He lives here in the offseason, so, you know. It doesn't help that the Cowboys are also eighth in the league in missed tackles. Although...
And Devin Singletary is third in breaking tackles right now?
Wouldn't you have guessed that number was higher for the Cowboys? They're tied for fifth most in the league, which is not good. But I honestly would have guessed that they were probably first, second, or third. You know what they are first, second, or third at? Committing penalties.
Oh, crap.
They are second in penalties committed and accepted this
season. So you're
saying
they're bad at stopping the run. They're bad at running the ball.
Yes.
And they're undisciplined.
Correct.
I'm not buying into that, Mike.
It's tough.
That's a bad setup.
So this is what Jess said during the last game when they were committing penalties. She goes, don't they always commit penalties? I feel like every time I watch this team, there's a lot of penalties. And if I know it's a problem, I definitely feel like they should know it's a problem. I feel like they know it's a problem. They're just like, hey, we'll get it better. We'll get it under wraps. And then you see the next game and you're like, oh, maybe not.
You need You need one of those crews that's like, we're letting them play tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
But we're only letting the Cowboys play. We're not letting the Giants play. Like, that's the kind of crew you need in this to break out of that spell, Kevin. Now, hey, you know, we saw you false start, but it could have been anything. We don't know.
From the 2-on-4, this is a question we get all the time, and we're just the wrong people to ask. What's y'all's 100% serious vision for this team over the next 5 years? I've said this for the last 2 years. I have a completely different vision for the direction that this franchise should have gone, than what the Cowboys chose. For the next 5 years, Dak Prescott is your quarterback, and you have to continue to try to work your way around how that hamstrings the salary cap to put together a team that you think could potentially make a playoff run. That's what's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, that's been the history of it. It feels like it's going to continue to be that way for sure. I don't feel like anything's changing there. You and I have been on the same page about that for a while now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with former Cowboys defensive tackle and two-time Super Bowl champ, Tony Casillas, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you former Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle, two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Good afternoon, sir.
Guys, how are you today?
I would be doing better if you can tell me why the Cowboys don't care about your position anymore. Can you help me out with why that is?
Well, I just don't think they have the personnel. I watched that. I was in the building Sunday last week versus the Ravens, and I just couldn't believe the lack of devotion when it comes to the intensity. And I think everyone's talked about it, but it was kind of lifeless. And I was really surprised considering, I thought it'd be a bounce back game. I know there was somewhat of a challenge, Baltimore desperately needed a win, but I really thought that these guys would respond considering what happened the week before that. And I just, it's very perplexing. And, honestly, when you look at Mike Zimmer, and I'm a big fan of Mike, I've had experience with him, but I think maybe he's asking them to do a little bit more than they want to. And I think that's where the problem may lie.
What do you mean by asking them to do a little bit more than they want to?
Okay, well, I just think that, and again, I think that, it's the third week of the season. I think there's always an expectation for, the Dallas Cowboys. Remind me of if someone tells you it's a it's blockbuster, these Brad Pitt, George Clooney, all these megastars and whatnot, and they hype this movie up, and you go see it, and you're like, that was the worst movie I've ever seen. And, sometimes it reminds you of the Dallas Cowboys, especially, week one, you look at Cleveland, you look at, the measuring for that game. Everybody gets excited. And then you have the Saints and like, wow, what happened there? And then obviously last week. But I just think that, Mike Zimmer's defense is obviously different than Dan Quinn's. Dan was a little bit more – not careless, but freed you up a lot more. Guys had a lot more opportunities to make big plays with not as much responsible as Mike Zimmer's defense. And it more really pertains to the heart and soul of the defense when it comes to the interior, kind of the boring things that people don't really want to hear about, but where that's where the main cog of the defense is. And I just don't think that when you look at the Mozzie Smiths, when I look at that, one position, the two tackles, they're asking these guys to play. It's somewhat boring, but it can be a defense you can make a lot of plays. There's not any slants. It's not schematic. It doesn't get exotic. Michael may be exotic, but obviously, and this is a long answer, it's the being patient and not being every play is going to be a knockout play. And I think the way that they played last week against certainly the Ravens, there was not much heart as far as playing more, devoted to disciplined football. And, to me, sometimes that's not fun, but it can be very gratifying. In the long run, it's more, to me, you can you can count on it more. And you know, to me, it's more consistent. And if you don't have the personnel, you don't have the dogs, you don't have the guys that have that want to do that, then it creates problem. And that's, and you guys have seen it. It's gotten exploited. And really, it's very perplexing to figure out what is going on with that. With that side of the ball.
Oh, yeah, man. Tony Casillas joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You've been in that trench. How much of it is just want to and desire versus technique and all that? Like, can you kind of explain how those go hand in hand to win the battle to stop the run?
Well, I think in the run, it's just a dog. It's a dog attitude. It's not very hard. I mean, all you have to do is play a technique and, you know, a three technique, a one technique. You have to stay in your gap and maintain that. But more importantly, you have to have some passion. And, I think it's just you're asking your defensive lineman to make one, like a half a second responsibility, whether it's, you know, the A gap, B gaps, be in that gap. And then after that, let it eat. Go make a play.
You
got to bring the juice after that. And I think for me, it's the passion. You guys watch it. And I think when you go back and you just watch guys just getting blown off the ball and their shoulders are turned to the sideline, it's very vulnerable for the inside part of the defense because of that. And as much as people love to watch Micah play, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence to me is a guy that doesn't get enough credit. That dude plays every down. But a lot of what you're seeing now is everyone's going to try to take Micah out of the game. There is a pattern here. We all talk about this all the time. They see the films like, okay, we're going to take number 11 out, and then we're going to make someone else beat us. And that's exactly what they're doing. And I think when it comes down, it's Micah's got to make a decision. You know, do I want that battle? Do I want to be put in there? Do I want to put my head in there? Do I want to be, you know, the grind guy? Because it is a grind, and that's the philosophy, especially in sign, is that you have to grind it out. And if you don't have guys that are able to accept that role, yeah, everybody likes to get upfield. Everybody likes to get sacks. Everyone's get takeaways and tackles for losses. But when you're trying to find your soul, and when you're trying to find an identity all of a sudden where you can't stop the run, the last three games of teams have rushed for more touchdowns in franchise history, it's time to find some soul searching. And to me, it's pretty easy if someone wants to do it.
Okay, that's an amazing breakdown as we talk to Tony Casillas right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm curious about a couple of things. Like, I know the coaches – hey, their job is to coach them up no matter what, blah, 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 blah. How quickly can you tell out on the field or in practice or whatever if you're like, that guy, he doesn't have the dog in him? And can it ever be taught?
Well, I just know this. I think the Cowboys should reconsider drafting a defensive lineman from Michigan. I mean, I watched Michigan last week at USC, and that's been said. But the point being is that it has to come from the individual. And you have to, you can evaluate talent, you can coach talent, but the best part about it is on Sunday. That's when it's the preparation the week before. And you can't tell me that there's something out of sync during a week prior to a game. I mean, I've been in locker rooms, I've been with the guys that we need to we need to turn this thing around real fast. It's not about pointing fingers at you. You look at me, you watch the film, you work on your technique, and you play your ass off. And to me, that's not – you can't coach that. I mean, you've heard this forever. Corey, you have a son that's playing seventh grade football. He's a defensive lineman.
Yep.
But if you don't have the heart, especially as a professional athlete, and you don't want to do the job – then you need to find someone else. And to me, that's what I've seen. And, you hate to criticize guys when it comes to their heart, but everyone watches it. You know, whenever time you get gals as much yardage as they did last week against Baltimore, Derrick Henry they just carve them up. And, as I mentioned, you just see guys just getting blown off the ball. And there wasn't any there wasn't any passion. There wasn't any of this angerness that you have to have as a defensive lineman.
And Kevin, he's dead on. Just like my son Carter, you gotta when you love something, when you love it, and you're passionate about it. You're all about it. You're doing all those little things.
I think it's hard for the fans to understand that too. And look, I think that we've all been as an athlete or as a team. You know, even when I was with the Cowboys, we've gone through a bad a run where we just weren't. This wasn't happening. But you know, when it comes to like the desire and the passion and just the pride that you have as a defense, then that's when you really test, you know, a lot of personalities. And again, it's just not pointing fingers and it's that guy, this guy, you know, it's a collective deal, but I think it could be corrected. And I would expect it to be corrected tonight against the Giants, I would think. But at this point, it's all about proving to yourself, proving to each other that we can get this done. And the hell with the outside noise. This is something that's internal that we have to take care of, because deep down inside, it's embarrassing. It really is. And you have to live with that.
You know, a lot's been kind of made too of CeeDee Lamb being expressive on the sideline, Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence being expressive on the sideline. When that's happening, I don't necessarily on that case specifically, but when guys are getting into each other on the sideline like that, what's going on there? Is that usually a discussion of equal minds saying we're going to get this together, or is there usually a rift between the two?
I think it's just frustration. I think it's frustration because, you know, CD, he, both him and Dak, they got paid off. So we all know about that. But, you know, CD, when you fumble the ball and you have a chance to get your team, your offense down to score, you got to make that play. Or, you know, the offensive line's not blocking. They can't run the football. I mean, there's not opportunities. I mean, you know, Dak can, you know, he can get, you know, CD can get 20 targets. But if Dak, the situations are right where he's not open, I mean, you just can't force the ball to one particular player. You got to get it to him, because right now, CeeDee Lamb is their best playmaker. I mean, they can't run the football. Mm. I mean, the whole deal with the running back by committee is not working with these three guys. So I think you got to force it in. And then when you're not having success and on the defensive side of the ball, you're just getting gouged. So all of a sudden, it creates a lot of negativity. And I think you lash out at different guys. But, you know, the body language, you know, I mean, you can tell the body language of guys. I mean, you know their personality just by reading their body language. And so the bottom line is that you just got to calm down. You got to sort it through. Look, we're frustrated. We need to do something about it. But we just can't individually do something about it. It's a collective movement. It's a collective thing. We need to get this turned around, and hopefully we can do that. But it can't be like five or six different guys in that locker room blaming it on someone else and, hey, it's all about me. It's got to be all about everyone getting this thing together. And then the coaches, they got to do a much better job too. I mean, there's a lot of accountability. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but this is it's a big football game for this franchise tonight. Early on in the season, you go 1-3, you lose to the Giants. If you beat, 12 out of the last 13 times, I don't even want to think about what could happen if they lose.
Because the answer to that is their season is over. I'm right. No. It is. I'm telling you, I'm right there with you. I do not think the Giants are a good team at all. I think if you lose this game, unfortunately, you're going to keep going, but I think that is terrible for your
future. Well, I think it just has its propensity to implode more.
Yep.
And there's a lot more things that are going on, more that related to football, and I think that creates issues. But it's a long season, but certainly the expectations for this team and what we buy into every year has been totally disappointing thus far. So, yeah, this is a very, what they say, must-win tonight. I think it's a must-win for the Cowboys, even if it's the fourth game of the season.
Well, either way, I want to give you a heads up. We got Jerry Jones with us tomorrow at 10:30. So if they do lose, say a prayer for us going into that interview. We'll see how it goes.
Well, You guys, I'm sure you guys will handle it tenderly.
Yes.
Hopefully you'll be in a good mood tomorrow.
We'll see. Yeah, definitely hope so. And all that being said, all the things we just kind of discussed about the negatives, on the flip side, does one win solve all the problems, or is that just a Band-Aid? How much does win help?
Oh, absolutely. Winning solves everything. I mean, it's a week-to-week deal. And the best thing about this game, only, on a Thursday, you don't have to wait that long to just get rid of that taste, you know? I mean, this solves a lot of different things, and that's all you can do. The only way you turn it around is to win. I mean, there's no moral victories for this team. There's a lot of expectations, but I guess we'll find out how good they are. I mean, I expect them to win, but at this juncture, I'm just like everyone else. I'm a little hesitant to jump on. And look, Dak, if you lose this game tonight, there's going to be a lot of people jumping off that bandwagon, I tell you what,
yeah.
For sure.
Now, I'm curious, going back a little bit, when you were playing, where were the Giants on your hate-a-meter? Like, when you were determining, I really hate playing against this team, for whatever reason, where did the Giants fit in that?
Well, I think the Giants were, they all were, we all hated. I mean, I would say, I don't know. It was the Giants 1 and the Eagles 1A, and then Washington 1B. And, yeah, because we hated them all. It didn't matter. I mean, that's the way you play the game. You play with that type of approach. You know, they're trying to take something from you, and you're not going to give it to them. And that's the way you play that game. And look, it doesn't take you that much motivation to get up for – I don't know, maybe it's different now, but I wouldn't think so, to get up for your division opponent, especially the Giants, and especially a game that both of these teams want to win badly. I mean, the Giants have gotten embarrassed the last 12 out of 13 or 13 out of 14 times, so they want to win. And the Cowboys, well, look what's happened to them the last two games. I mean, it's both of these teams are playing for something.
This might sound like a weird question, but based off of what you just said, do you think that more athletes should maybe kind of have that they're trying to take something from me attitude opposed to, whatever else is the motivation right now?
Oh, yeah. I think that a lot of that gets lost with the money, because the guys make, and we kind of put that, like, everyone wants to get their bag of money. And yeah, you got to. I mean, you're not in the NFL that long, so you got to take advantage of that. But you know, there's a certain amount of pride, and especially with the Cowboys, you know, what it symbolizes, it's America's team, it'll always be, and people love you or hate you. That's never changed. That's generational. Cowboys have always been a love or hate relationship. But they even hate you more when you win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I think that that's what you put out there. And I think athletes have to play with that. You have to play with – there's got to be this burning desire that I'm going to go out there and kick your ass. And if I go out there and I try to have that approach, and it may or may not work out, but I know that next time we play each other, you're going to remember me. And that's always, I think, your legacy, or just when you play someone, because you play each other twice a year. You'll see them again. But you want to know the next time, that dude's going to remember you. And it's not going to be easy. So I think that that's the approach. I think that should be approached, and I think it is. I mean, that's the way a lot of guys play, that they want to leave that imprint on you, that you know that next time I meet you, that you better be ready, and, you know, put a little scare factor in them too while you're at it.
I like it.
Love it.
He means imprint both physically and mentally, I think, is what I took.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you very much, good sir, for the time. That was outstanding.
What's that, guys? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I just said thank you for the time.
Yeah, man, it was awesome talking to
you. You were too busy laughing at our hilarious joke.
Time, guys. You guys enjoy the game tonight, and hopefully you'll be talking about a win and not something that we don't want to go to. And that's 1-3.
Yeah, agreed. I'm with you, man. Agreed. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Casillas right here on 105.3 The Fan. Clearly the Twitch, the YouTube, and the Fantex pleased by him and by that interview. And from the 817, you heard him, Kevin. It is a must win. We will dive back into that at 1:20. But right now, time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it on a game day. It's time for AM on the FM. Haven't done one of these on a game day in forever, so it's kind of fun.
For sure.
You have to go back to last year when I was doing some of those tailgate shows on the weekends. That was always a good time, so it's fun to talk football here. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line to get involved, answer the question of the day today. I got some sound to run for you from one of our old friends with the Texas Rangers. Something fun, a career milestone that he's going to talk about.
Jared Sandler?
No, he is here, but
he's one of our old friends. Yeah, okay.
A guy that is no longer with the Texas Rangers that we're going to hear from. He's actually on a playoff team, so you're going to get to watch him on some of the these national broadcasts. Don't know if he's going to play much, but we will see about that. But the question of the day today, it's National Pancake Day.
Mmm.
So, I'm going to ask you boys the question and the Tolos. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. What is the best breakfast food? 877-881-1053.
Bacon and eggs.
Ooh.
It's bacon and eggs every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say among the three big breakfast breads, pancakes is at the bottom. Give me French toast number one, then waffles, than pancakes. I think French toast is the best breakfast food.
I'll flip your one and two. If we're discussing just breakfast breads like that, I will go with, I'm sorry. Pancakes are four. It is, it's waffles, biscuits and gravy, and then French toast, then pancakes. Yeah, pancakes are okay. But the crunchiness of the waffle, the fact that it's own little cup for honey, for syrup or honey or jelly. Hell, I don't know, whatever you want to put on there. I'm going to go with that order. Biscuits and gravy are fantastic. Sausage gravy. It's got to be sausage.
Okay.
Gravy, yeah.
Okay. We're a big proponent of that here in the Medford household. I do appreciate that. I'm going to read from the 469 breakfast burritos. And I say that because I will say this with my entire chest. I believe that I make the best breakfast burritos that I have ever eaten. So.
Oh.
All right, hold on. Because I didn't think about this, but breakfast tacos are where I start.
Okay.
That's my number one option. Every Saturday morning, I wake up and I want breakfast tacos. Kevin, you remember when we went to Arizona, I asked that guy where the best breakfast tacos are in Arizona, and he said, that's not a thing here. And I was like, the hell are you talking about? We need to find breakfast tacos. How do you make your breakfast burrito? How does it roll?
Okay, so it changes with the seasons. It does, because right now, and this is why some people, even some of our coworkers up here, like ask why I wake up so early before work. I wake up at 6 every day. The show starts at 10, but I wake up so I can make breakfast.
Yes.
I want to actually like eat before I leave the house, have my coffee, have some time to wake up. But right now, because it's in season, this is going to make a lot of sense. Breakfast burrito goes like this, a nice large tortilla.
Okay.
You got to toast it up a little bit after you make it, too. If you just have that
on
regular tortilla. Yes, absolutely. If you don't toast your burritos, there's something wrong with you. I know time constraints, I get that part. But if you just do it by choice, if you leave it alone, you're wrong. Eggs, bacon. If you have the sausage on hand, sure. Get that extra protein in there. I'm counting my calories. I'm counting the macros. So I definitely need that extra protein. But this is my trick that I use around this time of the year. H-E-B, yes, Mike would hate me for saying this, but H-E-B has a special cheese, Hatch Green Chili Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
If you put that in the breakfast burrito, it gives you a little bit of that heat, just a little bit of the heat, and then I'll put on some seasoning. Like, I think right now I'm rocking the Meat Church Blanco.
There you go.
It is what I like to use. It's a good everything seasoning. I'll sprinkle just a little bit of that with a little bit of pepper on the eggs itself. You wrap it up, you toast it, put it in some foil. You're rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
You are rocking and rolling.
I'm gonna get you some of the... Do you have any of the voodoo from Meat Church?
I do not.
I'll get you some of that, because that stuff is... It's still got the sweet flavor. It goes great on ribs. I love it on ribs, but it's got the jalapeno spice to it that I really like. So Alec nailed it, dude. Like that, he just.
That does sound really good.
If I hated you before, you just won me over, Alec. I didn't hate you before, so I love you right now.
I'm glad you didn't, because, yeah, that would be a long work week if you did. let's see, from the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line, I'm guessing that this is like maybe Sunday morning breakfast here from the 817 Cold Pizza.
Oh, not the failed ESPN show.
Yeah.
Cold pizza's fantastic as an option.
It is. Ahead of Cronuts?
But not just cheese pizza. Ooh. Oh, look, man. Cronuts are a special breakfast.
It is.
That's not something you want to have every day, all right? If you have Cronuts every day, you're going to have some problems. Yeah. But I think you can eat some bacon and eggs every day. Like, throw it on a tortilla, I think you're going to be okay. But yeah, man. And somebody said a bunch of white boys talking about making burritos. Look, you want to throw some chorizo on there? That's fine too. We can do that. If that's what you're saying.
I'm a big proponent of the chorizo. Yeah.
From the 469, once again, disappointed by the takes on this station. Pancakes are by far number one.
I'm sorry.
I accept that more than like, I'm disappointed in your sports take. I'm disappointed in your breakfast bread take. I accept.
I'm a big French toast guy over waffles, but over pancakes. I think I'm waffles too. I think I'm team waffles. I like having the little cavities to kind of catch whatever you put on top of it. I like that.
Do you like whipped cream on top of the waffles? Because that's Adrian. She will order a big. She's like Leslie Knope.
I'm gonna wipe it off.
She will. Oh yeah, I've seen you. He'll take icing off of cupcakes. He wipes off. But yeah, Adrian is. She'll order a big old waffle, and she's like, yes, more whipped cream. This is great.
And just for the record, it's those cupcakes that you buy at the store in the, like, impossible-to-break-into plastic box that have, like, hey, we're going to give you 30% cupcake and 70% icing. And you're like, it's wrong.
And you can tell most of the icing is probably food coloring anyway.
Yes.
I got you. I see what you're saying there.
That's fair. But see, I don't take in a lot of sugar these days. So like when I do, I don't mind that because I don't eat it often at all. Okay. So whenever I do have a cupcake, the icing is cool because it's like that's a once every few months activity for me. The whipped cream on the pancakes or the waffles. Sure, I don't do that a lot, so I'm okay with it. There's a lot of biscuits and gravy agreement here, Corey Majors, so you might have been cooking there. No pun intended. You might have been cooking.
I think I'll give you this. I think Brahms has a really good sausage gravy and biscuits. Whataburger has a good one too, but I prefer Brahms. Brahms has, Jared Sandler will agree with me, Brahms has one of my favorite burgers. And I do love their fries, but I think they do a really good job with their breakfast too. I was kind of, when we would drive, or drive with the grandparents, we would always stop for breakfast at Brahms.
I don't think I've ever gotten biscuits and gravy from like a fast food place. Like I've definitely had it at a variety of different places. Sure. I don't think I've ever got the fast food right.
Get it at Brahms and you'll be all right. You'll be happy with that one. It does have a pepper, like a black pepper spice because they put a lot of black pepper in it. So just get over that.
I feel like most things at Brahms fly under the radar, if we're being totally honest. I was just there last week. I had a great time.
Good.
I had a great time listening to this. This is the Chris Rose Rotation Podcast, talking baseball. He had our old friend Austin Hedges on the show. Hedgie was talking about he hit his second home run of the season a couple weeks ago, and his teammates went ballistic in the dugout. And so they talked about why, and this takes the most Austin Hedges turn that you could ever expect.
When you hit your second homer of the year, you were flying around the bases, and I watched the dugout react to that. Like, it was almost like it was your first major league homer, and they were just so excited for you. Like, was it an emotional trip around the bases for you?
So you don't pay attention to my career homer totals, apparently?
Oh. Yes, I do.
Well, that'll tell you why the boys were so excited right there.
Are you serious that that's the reason? I thought it was something sweet, and all of a sudden it's because you guys are a bunch of sophomores in high school making fun of the number 69?
Yep, exactly. The boys even celebrated for me after the game. It was like a couple weeks after Clase got his record-setting save, and we did champagne in the clubhouse, you know, cheers. David got champagne glasses, filled them up with beer, and we did a beer champagne toast to celebrate my homer. I got the ball authenticated. I got my jersey authenticated, the whole thing.
That's incredible.
These are the little things that keep us going for 162 games, okay? Like, if you can't have a little fun doing that, then, like, you're going to be miserable playing this stupid game we play.
That is why we won the World Series last year, because Austin Hedges keeps a clubhouse loose.
Mm-hmm. With his 69th career home run.
He also called Emmanuel Clase the best closer ever.
Okay. Your thoughts?
We used to have both of them.
Damn it, Kevin. Why did you have to do that?
Sorry.
Dang, dude.
I was having fun, and now I'm sad.
I'm sorry. Should I not have said that? My bad.
But the funny thing is, he went on to keep talking about it, and he was like, man, I think next time I hit another homer, I'm going to intentionally miss home plate so I can stay at 69.
For his career.
He'd be like, sorry, guys. He was like, it had to be done. Sorry. So he's very committed to the bit, and so were his teammates. That made me very happy to hear.
That is amazing.
So that is very fun.
I'll always love that guy.
I will too. He's just so energetic and he's so fun. And then one more thing. We mentioned Reggie Adetula on the show earlier. But he made me make him a promise whenever I took over for him. And he said, whenever you get that first full-time paycheck, it's like, don't buy concert tickets. I hate to inform you that I pre-gamed today by buying concert tickets.
Oh, what concert?
Linkin Park got back together. And
now, are you a fan of the new the female that's leading for them at the moment?
Okay. I am. I have watched some of the live streams and stuff.
Why did he unplug her microphone during the show recently? Where he's just like, no, you can't hit that. It was that you can't hit that note? What was it?
No, it was just a little bit of fun.
Okay, like,
They're just vibing out on the stage, man. But Emily is fantastic. I know there's some conflicting reports about maybe her personal life out there. If you do your research, all of them are false. So, in my research,
that means we'll talk about it during the break.
But there's some interesting accusations out there about maybe what she does in her free time, and they're just not true. But anyways, Globe Life Field is where they're going to be playing, a huge venue for them. So that's going to be really fun. November 8th, a Friday. I will be there. If you're going to be there, hit me up. Maybe I'll buy you a beer. And we can hang out and have a good time.
I like it. Enjoy that show, man. Nice.
It's going to be fun.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
What does it take to catch a legend? Next on The Fan.